The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus, reported all they had done, and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers. They had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving. Many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When Jesus embarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know about you people, but the first reading from Hebrews is really touching me very much this year, more than all the other years. They seem to be so very rich, even though some of the readings are very short, but they're very, very dense, very substantial, almost as if you could do more than one holy hour just on this first reading. So let's, why don't we dissect some of these gems, these golden nuggets, and ask that they'll go from our mind to our heart. First is this. Brothers and sisters, not aliens and enemies, no? Right, there's a difference between an alien, an enemy, and brothers and sisters, right? Well, we're not aliens or enemies, but we're brothers and sisters. And that's true. Well, someone might say, well, I come from Michoacan. I come from Manila. You're a New Yorker, huh? What similarity is there between one from Manila, Michoacan, and New York? Doesn't seem to be have too much in common, huh? But the fact that we are Catholic Christians, there's a common bond, because God is our Father, Jesus is our brother, and the Holy Spirit is our best friend. Amen?
Amen.
So there we have it. Probably never heard anyone ever preach on brothers and sisters, but that's part of the Bible, isn't it? Isn't that part of the first reading? So that means we should love each other. Now there's a lot of definitions for love. There's a lot. I was brought up and raised in the 60s where you used to hear, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." Any of you remember the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964 when the Beatles came into town? I was 8 years old. I remember, look at these guys from Liverpool with the long hair, you know? They started to sing, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." That's going to be the offertory song, right? Don't even think about it. But I like the Thomistic definition of love. We celebrated Thomas Aquinas a few days ago, right? He says, do you know what the definition of Thomas Aquinas is for love? Well, I'll tell you. Love is willing the good of the other. That's Thomas Aquinas. It's willing the good of the other. What is the bonum, summa bonum, okay, as they say in Thomistic Latin? What is the greatest good. The greatest good for another person is that that person goes to heaven. That's principle and foundation, right? So if I really love someone, and I want that person, I want his good, I love that person, I will try to help that person to get to heaven. Amen? That's love. And I think you have to pray over that. I've asked people, what would happen? You prefer that I give you $5 billion or I pray a Hail Mary for you? What would Father Larry say? But theologically, praying a fervent Hail Mary for you is much better in the eyes of God. And if I were to say, I'm going to offer a Mass for you, even more. But there's a theological disconnect because we still have worldly passions, right? So love is not simply the Beatles song of this 1964, She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. That's when it was, 1964. But rather, it's when I can help you to get to heaven. Now, I notice there are a few spouses here, husbands and wives. Every day you should try to get your husband or wife a little bit closer to heaven. Amen? Amen or oh me? That's an amen, right? That's not an oh me, that's an amen. Huh? Okay, then the author says, through Jesus, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. How can we do that? What are we doing now? We're offering the highest sacrifice of praise is Holy Mass. Do you agree with that? I'm glad you do because it's right. This is the holiest, the greatest sacrifice of praise is the fact that you have this priest offering Mass for, my intention is, for you. Say thank you, Father. As a secondary intention, don't say, oh, shucks, no? As a primary intention are those who are coming in next week. But this is a secondary intention, praying for you. And hopefully you're going to be offering yourself for my intention, will you? That was a very timid, anemic yes. You have spiritual anemia? I think so, no? You know, the more that we unite in this intention, the more powerful. I was thinking, but we have 350 registered. We probably have 150 people here, about. What would happen if all these people here would bring one more people to the exercise, and you would invite and bring one more people, one more person, to the exercises within the next week? So if my mathematics does not fail me, 350, I'm always bad in math, but 350 plus 150, I think it's 500. Is my math okay? Wow, that means that by Saturday next week, Eric and Mary are going to have 500 people. Are you going to accept the challenge?
Yes.
I only heard five voices there. Well, at least we'll get five more. Okay, well, 355, okay? But if you people are the best, you're the best publicity. You are. If you go to someone and say, hey, those exercises really changed my life. I really would like you to go. Here's the registration form. Here's the phone number. And it's really helped my life. And you give a form. That's the best publicity are you people. And I'm always promoting it. Almost every day of the week I'm giving Mary or Veronica a new form, right? Sometimes, yes, I gave Veronica four forms, right? So I'm doing my work. You do your work too. Okay, then the author says this. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Here's a good one for the Protestants that say what? Faith and faith alone saves, huh? Hebrews 13. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Hey, what are the born-again Christians going to say about that verse? Faith and faith alone saves. Well, there's one verse. However, we barely ever have enough time to go through contemplation to obtain love. What does St. Ignatius say? Love is manifested by sharing what you have with others. That's contemplation to obtain love. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Okay, examine your consciences. What good do you have? Give it away. Give it away. Try to give away. Get what you have, give freely. Pope Francis says the greatest good we can share with others is the Word of God, which I'm sharing with you free of charge. Okay? Not after Mass, I'm saying, okay, you know, I preached a 15-minute homily, okay, that will be $10, please, okay? I've never done that, never will, okay? What you have received spiritually, give. Give. You can give materially, you can give spiritually. And maybe it's not a bad idea to see, maybe we can give some things away materially, some things spiritually. Father Craig and Lupe Galvan went to Tecate on Thursday, right? Right, Lupe? What did Father Bloom give? Half of my clothes, okay? Right? So in Tecate, half the people in Tecate are wearing my socks. And I'm happy with that. I gave away. I was noticing people have been giving me socks for Christmas and New Year's. I have too many socks. Maybe one day I'll be shoeless Joe Jackson's, huh? Hey, you've got an excess, give it away. Otherwise, you're going to rot. Give it away. That's what the Bible is teaching us. We have a tendency to cling to things. And if I wanted to give you $1 million and you have your hands filled with sawdust and broken eggshells, I can't get the diamonds, I can't get the money into your hands. You're clinging to something. You have a disordered affection. All those graces that God wants to give you are frustrated. They're frustrated. They're flaunted. They're blocked. So the more we give with a joyful, grateful heart, the more God's going to give to you. God can give to you as much as you can take, and He'll give you even more. God can give to you 1 billion times more, but we're not receptive as we should be. That's why God inundated Mary in every second of her life, because she was always open to receiving. Always open to receiving, docile, receptive. We receive up to a certain point and we're kind of like this. Did you ever notice an oyster closes? We become like oysters. We close to God's grace. But if we open up, did you know where a pearl comes from? an oyster, a sediment of sand comes and secretes. And then when it opens up, you got these precious pearls. So we have to open up to receive not a sediment of sand, but the divine invasion. Amen? The divine invasion. God never gets tired of giving to us, but we get tired of receiving from Him. Beautiful message. He said, God is pleased by sacrifices of that kind when you're giving. And Mother Teresa, what did she say? Give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. So there's a challenge today. We tend to hold on. But even look up at the cross. Look at the hands of Jesus. How are they? Is that symbolic? You know what I see in that? I see a reflection of the father of the prodigal son. Do you think the father of the prodigal son had his arms open or closed when his son was returning? Well, the father and the son always have their arms open. Always open. So we have to learn to be that oyster, to open up to God's grace so that we can give all the more. Okay, then the reading says, obey your leaders and defer to them. We don't like to obey. As Americans, we like to do our own thing. The clarion call of the 60s, remember, I got to be me, I got to be free, I got to do my own thing from the 60s. Any of you brought up in the 60s? I was, no? Remember that? There was a clarion call of rebellion in this country, and it exists even today, but even worse. But Mary said, yes, Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We say in the Our Father, thy will be done, right? So we have to learn how to obey. I have to obey my superior. My superior has to obey his provincial. My provincial has to obey the rector major. We all have to obey. When we obey, and God blesses us. So let's learn the lesson of obedience. Then we have the beautiful, beautiful phrase where it says, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, furnish you with all that is good. Why? That you may do his will. What a beautiful passage. May he furnish you with all that is good, that you may do his will, and may he carry out in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful reading. And what the Word of God is saying is this. God will give you the grace to carry out great things if you're open to his inspiration and to his will. And I'd like to close with a little anecdote. I was once talking to a little girl who was 9 years old. And I asked her, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Remember when I was asked, what do you want to be at nine? I said, I want to be three things. I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a writer. And then when I retire from my baseball career after I replaced Mickey Mantle in center field, that was my dream, then I'll become a priest, okay? Well, I played baseball into the university. I finished publishing my first book. And I am a priest, no? So I was able to get my desire. But I asked a 9-year-old girl, what do you want to be? And I almost fell off the chair when I heard what the girl said. She said, Father, I want to be a martyr. She said, maybe not like Maria Goretti, but I'd like to be a martyr. The girl was only 9 years old. This girl is on the highway to becoming a saint. I heard that about 4 hours ago, and I was floored by it, and I said, I have to preach this. You see, God's grace can work in the little ones if we have good teachers, good parents, good priests, good catechists. So the message of God is very rich. All of us are called to be generous with God. If we're generous with God, God cannot be outdone in generosity. He will be very generous with us. Let's thank God, because today we celebrate the Mass in honor of one of the greatest gifts that God has given to the universe. That gift is His beloved mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We call her Our Lady of Fatima. We call her the Mother of the Church, the Mother of God, and she is our mother. Amen.